Again, today I want to ask your prayers as I stand before you. I'd like to read some scripture from Matthew chapter 17. If you have your Bibles there with you and would care to turn and read with me, I'd certainly encourage you to do so. I do apologize. I know it's a little bit warm in here today. We're having a little problem with our air conditioning, and so I'm sure that we have plenty of fans or something you can use for a fan. So Matthew chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, this is the account of the transfiguration according to Matthew. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And I will stop my reading there, having read the first 9 verses of the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. There is a saying that is common in our day. Sometimes this saying is used in sports when 2 people or perhaps 2 teams are competing with each other, and they're in a tight race or tight contest. Sometimes this saying is used in that under those circumstances, and sometimes in other ways. But I'm sure that you've probably heard this saying, it ain't over till it's over. And what I want to use for a title for this message today is, it's not over when it's over. And I want to speak about today about the fact that we, as human beings, that we are eternal beings. And, this whole concept of death is so misunderstood today by so many people in the world. They have a wrong idea of what happens to a person when they die. But I want to say in the beginning that when death comes, when we face natural death as human beings, now this is true for us. It's not true for everything that God created, but it is true for the human family, that when it comes time for us to meet our appointment with death, that our existence does not come to an end. And I want to share some things with you today from the scriptures about that. The transfiguration was a very interesting and amazing and unique event. And there's a lot about it that I believe we probably don't yet understand. But there were some very interesting things that took place here when Jesus took these 3 men up to this high mountain and was changed like this, was transfigured before them. Now, I believe that there's a reason. And when you think about all the prominent people that the Old Testament scriptures speak of, there are many names and many people, no doubt, that we could think about here, but I believe there was a reason. Now, I don't know how you Bible readers and Bible studiers, I don't know, how you see the transfiguration or what you think it was all about, but I believe there was a reason, a very distinct reason why that it was Moses and Elijah that appeared there with Jesus that day. But nevertheless, we do read in this, in the fourth verse, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because we read in the verse prior to that these men had appeared. Moses, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah. And this was not just some type of spiritual appearing. They appeared. They appeared because the Bible tells us plainly, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. They not only did they see them, not only were they there present, but they were conversing with Jesus. They were sharing conversation. They were talking with each other. And if I'm right in this, and I'm not the best on timelines, but I believe that you are talking about two men here. Moses, at the time that this occurred on the Mount of Transfiguration, it had been about 1,500 years approximately. Not exactly, but it had been approximately 1,500 years since Moses left the earth. And it had been somewhere around 800 to 900 years since the prophet Elijah had left the earth. And so these men had not died recently, but they had been gone for a long time. And we read in the first chapter of Joshua, we read after the death of Moses, when God came to Joshua and revealed unto him that he was going to be Moses' successor, that he was going to, from there on, he was going to take up that work and lead the children of Israel on across the Jordan and into the promised land. God plainly told Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And they both had somewhat unique deaths. God just simply there in a mountain, he took the life of Moses. And the Bible tells us that nobody ever knew where the body of Moses was. Nobody knew. Of course, God knew, but nobody else knew where his body was. And Elijah, we read about him in the second chapter of 2 Kings. We read about Elijah, being caught up in the whirlwind and going up in the chariot of fire, and nobody ever knew where his body was. And so the two of them had a similar experience in that way in their death. But we see, most of the time, when we read about Jesus, when we read about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, most of the time we read about him in the way that he came here to the earth. We read about him being very, very humble, and as the Bible says, making himself of no reputation. We read about Jesus being the servant of his heavenly Father that he was, but there are some, situations recording, and the Mount of Transfiguration being one of them, when Jesus, while he was here on earth, really showed to some his glory and really showed that he was in fact God in the flesh. He showed the power of God that was with him in all of the miracles that he performed. And so in the transfiguration here, he gave Peter, James, and John a glimpse of his glory. And as he was transfigured before them and the way that he shined, and the Apostle Peter, and you know, most of the time when you read about the Apostle Peter being involved in anything, it seems like that he's usually the one that speaks up. You know, the Apostle Peter was usually the one that had something to say about everything. And, you know, he was the one there in the 16th chapter of Matthew when Jesus was asking his disciples, well, who are men saying that I am? And they answered him, and they said, some say you're John the Baptist and some Elijah, or some say you're one of the prophets. But that conversation there became one-on-one with Jesus and the Apostle Peter. And so, you know, in keeping with form, the Apostle Peter spoke up here, you know, and he had something to say about the transfiguration. And that was, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. Let us make one for Moses. Let us make one for Elijah. Let us make one for you. But, you know, there was not three tabernacles was not necessary here. That was not something that needed to be done. Of course, when we think about Moses, we generally think about the law. He was that man that went up there in the mountain and appeared before God and brought down those tables of stone that the moral law of God had actually been written on by the finger of God. And so we associate Moses with the law, and we associate Elijah with the prophets. He was a very well-known prophet in his day. But when they looked there in the conclusion of it, there was only Jesus. They only saw Jesus. And I don't know what you think about it, but I'll just tell you what I believe about it. I believe all that was in the law and all that was in prophecy, Jesus Christ fulfilled it. All of it. He fulfilled every bit of it. He fulfilled all the law and all of the things that were spoken by the prophets. But I find it very intriguing. And you know what? I hope that you do, because you ought to. I find it very intriguing that here were these men that had been gone from the earth for hundreds of years. They knew the Lord. They knew Him. He was their Savior. They knew Jesus before Jesus was ever manifest in the flesh. They already had a personal relationship with Him. And they had been with the Lord for all this time. If you have any question at all in your mind about where these men came from, I'm going to tell you they had been with the Lord. All that time since they had left the earth, they had been with the Lord. And here, the Lord in this miraculous transfiguration, they appear. They're talking with Him. What a sight. I mean, I don't know if you ever really stopped and thought about that, but what a sight. No wonder the Apostle Peter said it's good for us to be here. No wonder that he felt that way. I mean, how many people have ever experienced something like that? Of people that have been dead for hundreds of years and suddenly they appear there before you and they're talking with someone. And so they beheld quite a unique event there. When the Lord created us, He created us as a twofold creature. We are a twofold being. We have this outward man We have this this flesh. We have the part that we see. But I'm telling you, inside of every person, there dwells an eternal spirit. And you need to understand today that when death overtakes the body, that that's all that's going to be affected by that. Yes, it's appointed unto men once to die. But the Bible says, but after this, the judgment. What is it? It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this. There's something coming after this. Even though we die and leave the world, we're going to stand in God's righteous judgment. You know, there was a time recorded in, and we have this recorded in Matthew chapter 22, and there were some men that came to Jesus tempting him like they often did. They were tempting him with a question about the resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ was letting them know that to begin with, that they had erred in their beliefs. And you can go, I won't go through all that. You can go and read that yourself in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. But the Lord was letting them know that they were wrong to begin with in the things that they believed about the resurrection. But then he made this statement to them. He said, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am the God of these men. He said, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You know, those of us that have come to know the Lord, the Bible teaches us plainly that we have been given eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus said in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, there in the account given to us there where Lazarus had died, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked a question, believest thou this? Do you believe that today? That those that live in Christ Jesus shall never die? We may experience, and we will experience, this separation here of body and spirit, but we have been given eternal life. I'm telling you, as we stand here today, and we spoke about men, we heard Sister Treva today testify about the passing of her sister. And you know, as I attended the visitation there Friday evening, I begin to think about the times in my life that I had been privileged to be in service with Sister Evelyn. I've been there at her church several times and preached revivals and been there in other services. And I've seen her, you know, up in the choir singing, and I've seen her get happy in the Lord. And as I stood by the coffin there the other night that housed her body there, talking to her son, whom I've been friends with through the years, I said, you know, I can just see her now singing in the hallelujah chorus. I'm telling you, the children of God have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear in leaving this world. But I tell you what we do have. We got a lot to look forward to. God is the God of the living. He has given eternal life. These men appeared there with Jesus after having been gone for years and years. They were talking with him. They were communing with him. You know what? After that statement that God made to Joshua when he said, Moses, my servant, is dead, isn't it obvious from what we read in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew at the Mount of Transfiguration? Isn't it obvious to us from the teachings of God's Word that even after God made the statement, Moses, my servant, is dead, that there was still a Moses? Isn't it obvious that in 2 Kings chapter 2, where the Bible talks about Elijah being caught up into heaven, into the heavens in a whirlwind and a chariot of fire, isn't it obvious from this that there was still an Elijah? Well, sure there was. They were not exactly the same as they were here in this world, and we won't be exactly the same as we were here. Thank God. Thank God that we won't be exactly the same. Don't you look forward to the release? I mean, as a child of God, don't you look forward to the release that's coming from this sinful body that we live in? In the 7th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul writing and yearning about that and asked the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death or from this body of death? Well, Jesus will do that. He will deliver us from this. When Moses and Elijah, stood before Jesus here at the Mount of Transfiguration and talked with him, they didn't have the problems that they had before when they lived in this world. Things were different for them. Moses was no longer burdened with care about the children of Israel and about the way that they would always murmur against God. Those things were far behind him, but he was still very much alive. And I'm telling you that our brothers and our sisters that have died in the Lord are the same way. They are the same way. They're with Jesus. They're with him. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. But you know, in that same chapter, two verses before, it talks about those who die in the Lord. It talks about those who die without him. And you know what it says? As it says, those that die in the Lord rest from their labors. Those that die without him, the Bible says the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. I'm telling you, if you die lost and without the Lord, you'll die in your sins. Just as Jesus said you would in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you will have an eternal existence, but you will never have eternal rest. That's only going to be experienced by those that die in the Lord. I'll tell you what, we're all going to die, but there's no good way to die except to die in the Lord. If you die without the Lord, it's going to be worse than I could even possibly explain to you here today. There's two ways to die. You can die in the Lord, or you can die without the Lord. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins, and that is, you will die without the Lord. If you've not been saved, you ought to be so afraid of death. You should, because it's going to do you great, eternal, irreparable harm. It will. You need to seek the Lord, and you need to be saved. You need to have that assurance in your heart that you know him, in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Because when it's over, when your life is over here in this world, it's not over. As I began to say earlier, there are so many people in the world today that believe that when a person dies, that's it. Listen, there are religious teachings in the world today and have been for a good while. There are religious teachings that teach that when a person dies, if that person's righteous, that they'll get to go and be with God And if they're not, that they'll just go into a state of non-existence. I'm telling you, nothing could be further from the truth. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is an eternal place for those that die in the Lord. There is an eternal place for those that die without the Lord. There's a heaven to be gained and there's a hell to be shunned. But you're going to exist. Friend, take my word, take God's word for it. Take God's word for it. You're going to exist through all of eternity. Luke chapter 16. There was a beggar and there was a rich man. The Bible tells us that Lazarus, the beggar, died. He died. And he was carried. The beggar died and was carried. You see, there was something after that. He died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It even goes to tell us the rich man died and was buried. We are told what happened to his body. The rich man died also and was buried, but in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torments. It's not over. When your life here is over, it's not over. We are all eternal bound. We are eternal bound. And listen, where you spend eternity is far more important than anything that you do in this life. I mean, that's what's really important, is where you spend eternity. Hot in here today, isn't it? Fans are waving. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot worse for people in hell. The Bible talks about a place of everlasting fire. Everlasting torment. No relief from it for all of eternity. We haven't even yet imagined anything here as to what that'll be like. Let's have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, I don't care if it is hot in here. You need to seek the Lord. You need to let everything else go. We don't need any distractions. You need to seek the Lord. You may not have another opportunity beyond this day. How about it, lost friend? You're going to live on after this life. You have an eternal spirit that will dwell for all eternity. It'll either be in heaven or it'll be in hell. How about it today while we stand and sing?
234.